Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're continuing to talk about divine guidance, and what we're going to do today is kind of sum up the guidelines for knowing the will of God applied to a specific situation. So we've been talking a lot about different approaches and the hindrances and a lot of the how-tos, but we want to look at how really practical they can they be when applied to a specific situation. So when you're asking God for a specific response in a specific situation, what does that look like? So we're going to kind of go through the steps fairly quickly, just so hopefully we can have these on as few series as possible, just so that when you're in that situation, you can listen to them and just remind yourself, this is the process, these are some of the practical approaches, these are some of the do's and don'ts, and hopefully it'll just be a refresher. Hopefully you've got the rest of this in your heart, in your mind, and you're already practicing them. Reminding ourselves again that that God gives us a desire for guidance and a need so that we will turn to Him. This is not a test about how brilliant we are or insightful or, you know, strong or wise or anything like that. This is about our relationship with God, our training, our development as far as working on overcoming our enemies. So it's rarely about making the right decision. It's about the process. So we're going to talk about the guidelines for knowing the will of God for a specific situation. And perhaps stop and think about any situation that you might have found yourself in recently. And it might make it easier to think about a big decision you had to make. How did that go? How was that something, a decision you can make with confidence? Was it difficult for you? And really what we want to look at, taking some of the emotion and doubt out of the process and bringing it into practical, a step-by-step process. So the following sequence is a great place to start in developing an objective approach to hearing from the Lord concerning specific issues. Now, if you have a different one, that's fine. That's great. Whatever is helpful for you, whatever works in terms of, is it bringing you into greater peace and rest and dependence on God? It's not about, again, having an inside track or knowing things ahead of time. It's, do you have a strategy, a plan in place so that when these things come up, because they will, we all wonder at times, what are we supposed to be doing? Are we doing the right thing? And so we don't want to be thinking, okay, we don't want to be guessing ourselves. The more confidence, God wants you to be confident that you have heard from Him, that you've made the right decision, regardless of how it turns out, the results. So knowing you have consistently followed certain steps, even if you take these steps and modify them for your own benefit, that's fine. If you've learned something different, again, if you want to modify these, that's fine. But have a plan. Start someplace. It also takes the emotion and doubt out of going to the Lord and increases our confidence that we have truly heard from Him. A lot of times, you know, a lot of the process we're going to look at is you write things down. And a lot of times when things don't go the way you expected, if you can look back and go, okay, I was sure I heard from God. Now, sometimes you may doubt that. And again, it's about the process. Did you do everything you could? If you followed your steps, you did everything you could, and maybe God directed you in a direction you didn't expect, and you call that a failure. Well, God doesn't. And these are some of the things we want to build our confidence in. So the first step is to acknowledge and remind yourself of your of your spiritual identity in Christ. Who you truly are, a spirit being, already knows the answer to whatever your question is. God loves you, accepts you, and is proud of you now. Regardless of the situation you are in or the choices that are before you. Number two, review the central means of guidance that we've talked about in previous series. Did a series on general methods of guidance according to Grace not too long ago. And go back and review that just for some general direction. Number three, do your research. Seeking divine guidance is not a way to get out of your decision-making responsibilities. Very often, taking the time to ask questions and look at the actual circumstances will provide the direction you need. For instance, just some practical examples. When considering a job change, do you have a job offer on the table? If you're all stressed out about maybe looking for another job, you can't really make a decision until that job offer is on the table. Is that offer in writing? We often borrow stress and borrow trouble and make trouble for where we are right now. Say you're in a job and you're not sure you're happy about it. The job really, the question before God is then, is not, do I take this other job? It's really about, Lord, what's going on with this job? Is this something you're trying to get me to move from, change jobs, or is there something I need to change about this job? Am I supposed to be learning something? Am I supposed to have an effect on this job? After you have that answered, then you can start looking for another position, and then you're can be then asking the Lord, okay, which direction do I go in? So two different aspects there. This is why we want to be really practical. Until you have a choice, don't try to ask God what the choice is. You'll get your questions all muddied up. And you may think you're hearing yes or no from God, when really you don't have the right question before Him. So do your research. Again, in considering marriage, are you both healed enough to be able to make healthy decisions? When two unhealthy people get married, you're going to have an unhealthy marriage. When one person is healthy and the other person is unhealthy, it's going to be half unhealthy. Now, that doesn't mean to say, okay, that there's not going to be hope for that marriage because so many are not healthy. The church these days is not well known for creating healthy or developing healthy believers. There's as much dysfunction and ill health solically, I'm speaking, in the church as out of it. This is one of the reasons we have such a high divorce rate in the church. It's because people are getting married at the wrong time and for the wrong reasons, in and out outside of the church. So you want to take the opportunity before making your choices to be practical, a valid choice. Is this a valid question to be asking? Don't just look to God to tell you what to do. Then expect everything will work out because God gave you the okay. You do the work ahead of time. So that's all under do the research. That should take some time. That should be, you know, there's situations where we all take a job, for instance, that pays a lot less, and then expect God to make up the difference in salary, for instance, because you believe he gave you the okay to take a cut in salary, when maybe he didn't at all, but you want it out. So we want to be very clear and really be wise in making our process as objective as possible. And we want to be able to hear clearly from God. Number four, decide what you want to do. Very often, the reason the Lord puts us in positions where choices have to be made is to free us from old wounds, expectations, or perceptions of ourselves, others, or God. In other words, he wants to bring these things to the surface. Remember, you can't submit your desires to God until you own them, until you know what you want, until you admit it to yourself. You can't truly give to God something that doesn't truly belong to you. So be honest and take time with working through your motives, your history, again, seeing if maybe this is something God wants to bring healing or restoration in your life. Number five, adjust your beliefs and expectations until you can take an objective stance regarding the issue. Now, this can be challenging, and this can sometimes take time. And very often, one of the reasons we have a challenge with making a decision is because we wait until the last minute to start this process. And so we kind of push ourselves into a corner when God would rather have made the most out of every one of these opportunities. It's difficult to hear from the Lord, already have an opinion. So if you already think the job you're in now, for instance, if you already think the job you're in now is terrible and dishonest and, you know, whatever, or everybody hates you, or this is not where God wants you to be, you're going to have a hard time hearing that maybe he wants you to stay. So those other issues you want to clear up with God. Likewise, in another big situation, marriage. If you think that the person that you're considering marriage to is God's choice for you, you're going to have a hard time hearing from him if he says no, if it's not the right choice for you. So you want to, before you start thinking, let's put it this way, before you start putting words in God's mouth, you better know his voice. You better know how to test his voice, already have that relationship with him. So sort through your motivations with the Lord's help until you don't care what the answer is. Now, this is really hard. In our job situation, is it okay if God says to stay? What do you have to work through in order for that to happen? Or if he says, okay, I want you to move, but I want you to move across country. Is that okay? Likewise with the marriage. What if God says yes? What if God says no? This isn't the right person. Maybe it's not the right time. Are you okay with that? This is part of not only recognizing God's sovereignty, but submitting to that sovereignty as well. The Lord will prove his faithfulness. This does not mean that you will not necessarily have a desire, because the Lord often directs us by giving us a desire. But we need to be willing to let that desire go. Lord, I really want to take this job, or I really want to marry this person, but I will embrace and choose whatever decision you want to make. Number six, ask specific questions. Having done your research and self-evaluation, phrase the issue into specific questions rather than asking the Lord general questions. We've talked about this many times, that we have this idea that, you know, we don't really have an expectation that God's going to answer our questions. And so we don't ask specifics. We don't get real, we don't have an expectation for clarity. And so we don't give him an opportunity for clarity. But God wants us to be able to hear him clearly. And so this is a belief we need to change. For instance, yes or no questions or multiple choice. Lord, do you want me to take this offer? Versus, Lord, what should I do? Obviously, God is free to respond in whatever way he chooses, but restricting our options and questioning God keeps our soul focused on hearing from him rather than speculating on all the possibilities. Now, one of the things that happens is very often you'll come up with a yes or no question and you won't hear anything. That is a really good indicator that you're asking the wrong question. You say, Lord, should I take this job? He didn't want to tell you yes or no because he didn't want to talk to you about the job. He wants to talk to you about something else. And again, what does God, every aspect of our life is about our relationship with him. He's not like one of those magic eight balls where, you know, you come to him when you need money or to him, you come to him when you need an answer. It's like, no, this is about relationship. And he doesn't like it when the only time you come to him is an answer to a question. It's easier to recognize and accept yes or no from him rather than complete sentences or instructions, especially when we are just learning. Number seven, establish a time frame for when you need an answer. By noon on Thursday, for example. Now, this approach, it can be really helpful and can really take a lot of the stress out of the whole situation and keep your mind and the rest of your soul from getting too distracted and overwhelmed by working at hearing from God. So come up with a time frame for when you need an answer, a very specific time frame. Be realistic and develop an expectation of his response. This deadline should be before your final deadline, For instance, if you're considering making a purchase and you need to decide by a certain day, set your initial deadline for a day or two before. The Lord may give you your answer well before, but by dealing in objective deadlines, emotions and pressures are less likely to play a role in the decision-making process. You can see how this makes sense. It's like, okay, everybody understands that there's a time frame here. You don't have to wonder, okay, does God know that I need to know something? God is practical. Now, once you've done that, number eight, set aside time specifically to wait on the Lord regarding the issue. This is in addition to other waiting times you have established. And this is all, there's an assumption there that you know how to wait on God, you know how to hear his voice, and you know how to test it. Though God is not obligated to respond during this waiting time, it is a good reminder that we are engaging him regarding the issue on his terms. Remind the Lord and yourself of the question and give him an opportunity to respond. You may find from one day to the next that the question has changed, or perhaps has even become irrelevant because you already know the answer. When your deadline comes, if you have specifically heard from the Lord, acknowledge the direction specifically. If you haven't heard specifically, go ahead and make a decision. This is number nine. Again, when your deadline comes, if you have specifically heard from the Lord, acknowledge the direction specifically. If you haven't heard specifically, go ahead and make a decision. This is like, okay, like we were talking about noon on Thursday. If noon on Thursday comes, wherever you are, acknowledge it. If you have heard something from God, that's it. If you haven't, pick a direction. For instance, decide that you will accept the job offer. Sometimes he will leave it up to us, because God also wants us to be growing in confidence in our judgment. As we become more and more dependent on him, our will, that part of our soul, becomes more and more in tune with his. As we grow into a strictness, we also grow into a freedom. Number 10, set a final deadline. Wait on the Lord, giving him an opportunity to change your mind. Lord, tomorrow I'm going to accept this position. If you don't want me to, let me know. Now, this is true whether you've heard from him, whether you have the direction from him, or whether you made the decision because you didn't hear from him. Either way, acknowledge what you're going to do and still give him time to talk to you about it. Our God is a big God. It's his job to reveal himself. Your responsibility in this is to make yourself available. Depending on God to make his will known is more important than the decision itself. His love for us comes before the need to make the right decision. God knows what and when you need. You don't. For instance, Lord, I believe this is what you want me to do. If I don't hear from you by such and such a time, and I am still of this mindset, I'm going to act on this direction. Finally, number 11, act on your decision. taking responsibility for the guidance received. This doesn't mean you won't have an emotional reaction. And the consequences may not fall into line with your expectations of what making the right decision should look or feel like. Then over time, review your decision-making projects with the Lord, letting Him provide feedback, joy, strength, or encouragement as necessary. Every circumstance in your life is a training opportunity, reinforcing the rest, peace, and giving nature that we now experience personally. Also be aware that the Lord may change your direction as soon as you make a commitment. That doesn't mean you missed His direction, just that He's ready to move you on to something else. Being led by the Lord doesn't mean everything's going to be rosy. One of the reasons to do this sequence is so you can stand when the doubts come. So take time, even now. Set aside some time to review decisions you've made in your life. This is not to look back and feel guilty or angry or doubt those decisions, but be honest in your evaluation of how you made those decisions. Now, one thing you'll notice in this process, and next week we're going to look at some more practical do's and don'ts, but notice this series is all between you and God. Now, under research, there may be, and we'll talk about this, there'll be times to talk to other people. But there's really only, under number three, there are 11 steps, and there's only number three that includes anybody else. One of the big problems we have is we try to put other people as intermediaries between us and God. We want our pastor or a counselor or a friend or even a spouse to make the decisions for us or be a deciding factor. And in many cases, that's absolutely valid. But the bottom line and the final conclusion is you choosing. Is you taking ownership of the choices you make and knowing the process that you have taken to arrive at that conclusion, arrive at the decision in conjunction with God. So it's not about, again, achieving the right decision, being in the will of God. It's how did you get there? Are you relying on God? Are you trusting that He's going to use every single situation in your life as an opportunity for healing and training and relationship? Or are you going from decision to decision, hoping that at the end of this, God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? The problem is that if we're waiting till the end to find out how we're doing, that doesn't give us any time to change direction. So let's look now to see if we can hear from God now, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together and talking next week about some practical do's and don'ts. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio, drop me a line through Blog Talk Radio or at therainersclub.org. Until next week, have a great night.